go ahead and bring the board back into open session at 7:08 p.m. Is there anyone in the audience who would like to offer an invocation? Seeing none, please rise for invocation led by Ms. Polis and flag salute led by Mr. Manaris.
Dear Lord, please be with us tonight as we make the decisions that affect our students' lives. And please keep all of our West Covina community and students, staff safe during this summer break, and have the students that are in summer school continue to be safe and learn a lot. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Please join me in us in a flag salute. Your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Ms. Schumacher?
Here.
Ms. Fuller?
Here.
Ms. Madden?
Here.
Mr. Flowers?
Here.
Ms. Bonato?
Present.
Here.
The next item on our agenda is report of action taken in closed session. There were two items that we voted on. Let's see. In closed session, the board took the following action. By a vote of 5-0, the board took action to approve a settlement agreement related to OAH case number 2015-040287. The following action was taken in closed session on June 23rd, 2015, with the subsequent action being reported in open session as required by law. Moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Ms. Polis, that the following students have not completed their terms and conditions of expulsion and have been denied readmission to the West Covina Unified School District. Student number 184682, student number 203676, student number 204660, student number 204420, student number 181691, and student number 192051. And the vote was unanimous. Okay, that is all for closed session. I do not have a report at this time. Other board members?
Yes.
Mr. Flowers?
Good afternoon. I'd like to report that just talked about the Special Olympics. Just give a report on the Special Olympics. Then when the torch run, it's gonna be Sunday, July 19th at 1 o'clock. And they're going to start at Orangewood Park. Also, West Covina Band and Choir will be participating. At the present time, they're studying to do to sing the Japanese National Anthem. So they're going to be doing things. And I got a chance to talk to Ernesto Romero. He's one of the guys at the library today. And he has one of the largest group of teenagers in L.A. County that participates at the public library. Like, they have teen night, they have a teen ukulele night, they have teen musical chairs. So just every Thursday they do something different. And he's really doing a lot for the library. The library is doing so much for our community. A lot of people don't know about it. There's something that they have things for adults. They have some exercise classes that they do. They have things for the babies. They have reading for the toddlers. So it's just something that I just want to mention to bring out to the board and to the audience that, you know, support our library. They're doing so much for the community. And let's get ready for the Special Olympics. It's going to be a great deal for our city. And West Covina is already being a part of it. The plaza, they're doing a lot. They're staying at Fairfield Inn, and they're staying there for free. That, you know, the Lions Clubs are doing a lot. The road, all the organizations, Service Organization, are doing something. So I'm looking forward to that. So you'll hear more details about it, but it's coming up soon. Thank you.
Mr. Manaris, your report?
Yeah.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
Okay, I only have one thing. I want to say what an excellent community benefit partner reception with Kaiser. President Shoemaker, Dr. Hinman was there, and Ms. Lessiger and myself, and it was very well attended. We were definitely well represented, and it's wonderful to see Kaiser one more time supporting our work Specifically, we fell under the reducing obesity and overweight conditions. So they will be, again, I think they handed the check over, right? So we've got our check for our Hearst Ranch program in the fall. So I wanted to thank the superintendent and Ms. Lessiger for attending and showing that support. I know that Kaiser really appreciates it. So it was a very good event.
Ms. Polis?
I just wanted to remind everybody about the Parents Place open house this coming Friday at 4 o'clock. I hope that you all can make it. And remember, there's going to be food. And everything's free. And if you know any families that you think could benefit from that, I appreciate the notice going out to our special education students that are in school right now. And if you know anybody else, please pass it on because they'd benefit from it. Just to piggyback on what Mr. Flower said, library for homework help, I know that's a struggle for a lot of families. When you're sitting down, they are marvelous during the school year to sit down individually with your child and work on homework. Just get there early to get your name in, and the tutors get to know your children. So I just wanted to add that for during the school year, that our parents can utilize that. It's so close, and some of our parents could even walk.
Informal report, Dr. Hinman.
Thank you, President Shoemaker. I'd like to move to Cabinet. Start with Ms. Hawkins.
Thank you, Dr. Hinman. Well, it's summer, and you would think it would be very slow over in my area, but it's not. We just had about 45 elementary school teachers this last week come in for math camp training, so we're really excited to see them there and working with Judy Keeney and looking forward to all of the wonderful work that they'll do with students in the coming school year. And then in addition to that, we've been bringing in our curriculum teams for the different subject areas and working on our benchmark assessments and curriculum guides for the coming school year, so the teachers are really excited about that. And then we've had the opportunity to have our ESY program for special ed going on for our summer school and our regular summer school with about 1,500 students between the two high schools and then another about 50 at Coronado. So we're really excited about the number of kids we've been able to help this summer and working on that. That's it.
Dr. Coughlin.
Well, sad to report, but happy to report for this person that Grace Gardner, who's been with the district over 13 years, as our Director of Administrative Services, has taken a position in the Garvey School District, and she's going to be their Assistant Superintendent of Business Services, or their CBO. So while it is a loss for us, we're happy for her, and just want to wish her well in this next part of her journey, and she will be missed.
Thank you, Mr. Seaman.
I just want the board to know that we distributed plaques commemorating the service of many of our retirees on the classified and certificated side, and we're busy hiring new teachers for the ones that have left that we need to replace, and trying to finish up negotiations with TOC and begin the negotiations with CSEA.
Okay, thank you. I have two items. The first, I'd like to invite the board, if you'd put July 17th on your calendar at 8 a.m., it'll be day two of our admin retreat. I can't tell you where yet, but I would like to invite the board at 8 a.m. To come hear our guest speaker. His name's Kermit Alexander. Kermit played college ball at UCLA and went on to have a illustrious career in the pros. However, Kermit has just published a book entitled Despair to Redemption. Just I don't tell you a lot about his story, but basically growing up in Watts, Kermit's family was erroneously marked for a gang hit, and he lost his mother and sister. They had the wrong address written down. So the anger in this man, as you can imagine, he spent months literally walking the streets. He met a woman who I know personally, really changed his life, and then when Haiti had their crisis, she was there on a missions trip and fell in love with a little boy who she came home and talked Kermit into adopting. And when they went to pick up their new son, they found that he actually had six brothers and sisters. And they ended up adopting the entire family. It's their story bringing back, and it changed his soul and changed his heart. And the whole message is about how, you know, we really can't give up on kids. There's a lot more to the story, and again, I don't want to share it with you now because it's so moving. I'd rather you hear it from Kermit and Tammy Alexander directly. But that'll be July 17th at 8 a.m. The other issue I want to bring up is Trustee Miranda Jimenez had asked some good questions about summer school. I'll be honest with you. I couldn't answer the West Covina Unified School District summer school questions per se, but so I've been involved in summer schools for over a quarter century, and they all pretty much run the same. But I think they were fair questions, so we've done a little research, a little due diligence to try to answer some of those. But the reality is she would like to go on a tour. And in fairness, I thought that, and she agreed, that needed to be opened up to all the board. So, President Shoemaker, what I'm asking you is we could try to schedule it now, an open session, a date that works for everybody, or we could ask Monica to try to schedule that with you and set a date and time that would work for everyone.
Let's go ahead and try and schedule it during this board meeting, but let's wait till further board discussion at the end of the meeting. That way
okay.
we can
Great.
Get down to business.
Great, and that concludes my informal report.
I'm sorry, I had a question. You said it was the 17th or the 18th that he
it's
would be
It's Friday, so that's
Friday.
The 17th,
okay.
yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
At 8 a.m.?
8 a.m.
8 o'clock until?
Probably 11. Okay. Yeah. And again, it's his presentation will probably last an hour. But there'll be lots of Q&A and questions. I mean, his personal story is also very powerful, but people can't help but asking, who was the toughest person you ever tackled in the NFL and questions like that. And so it goes away from his story a little bit, but, his stardom sometimes collides with his personal story.
Can we bring a guest?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I can bring my children.
Yes.
I will have to leave because of the 10 o'clock showcase
yeah.
from our dance teacher.
Yeah.
At Edgewood.
I actually, there will come a point at that meeting where I will respectfully ask the board to let us carry on with our admin duties, and we'll finish up our meeting. But I wanted you to be there particularly for Kermit Alexander.
Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is item from the floor, public comments. I have one blue card, Lisa Mayo.
Come on up to the podium.
I've never been here before, so if it's anything like anything else. Hello, everyone. My name is Lisa Mayo, and I'm here actually because I am the co-founder of They Will Know, which is a nonprofit organization that I have had for 10 years teaching teens about domestic violence through the performing arts. But today I'm here to invite you to an event that Theater Americana is cooperating with me on July the 27th. I gotta get up. 26. Yeah, it's on a Sunday. It's on a Sunday, and it's going to be a red carpet event as well as a reception before. And it's a fundraiser for my nonprofit organization so that I can continue teaching teens and young adults about how to prevent domestic violence and anti-bullying. That is my passion, and I can speak from the heart, so I know what it was to be a teenager in a domestic violence situation. So my passion has been in teaching teens about this. So anyway, I'm hoping that all of you can come. Life has got fun things as well as sad things, but we're here to just discuss about fun things today. So anyway, I'd love all your support in helping me continue with my program. So I guess my time is up. No? Yeah? Okay. That's all I really want to say. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else who would like to address the board at this time? Okay, seeing no one, we will move on to the business session of our meeting. Are there any items that a board member would like to remove from consent?
Item 4, just on the charter school oversight.
Okay. Do you mind if we just bifurcate it out?
Sure. Well, I don't. I'm not changing anything. I just had some clarifying questions, but I'm not.
Oh, okay. Then we'll just leave it and remove it.
I'm not changing. I'm not asking for any changes.
Are there any items a board member would like to add to consent?
I know. Can we add 13, or do we have to?
That was my exact question.
Okay.
Since we already had our presentation and question and answer session. Same with 24, I'm assuming? Same with 24? Yes. Okay. Because I know CSBA recommends that we vote on it separately. I'm just wondering if that's like an actual law. Okay. With that, do I have a motion to approve the amended agenda consent items with item 4 removed?
Second.
It's been moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Mr. Flowers. Any opposition? Motion carries 5-0. The next item on our agenda is number 4. Ms. Miranda Jimenez, you had a question.
Yes, I have 3, and I have nothing to change. Isn't the right place. Maybe the questions need to be saved for our next meeting, but we have the policy in front of us. So I needed to understand that the criteria for renewal or evaluation is only based on poor performance. So when I read this and reread this, the only way we can back out is for poor performance, 3 out of 4 consecutive years. I just needed to get that clarified.
We've actually talked to our attorneys regarding several issues on the charter school because of our presentation tonight, and that is true. You do not have the authority to cancel a charter school without due process and without reason.
Okay, so they're okay. And then the next thing was on. Go ahead.
You said without due process and without a reason.
Right.
But the question was, is the only reason due to poor performance
3 out of 4 years?
Or are there other criteria?
Because when I read this, there's no other reason.
Dr. Coughlin.
We can research this. Obviously, I mean, these are the educational reasons. If the district, if there's fiscal reasons and they are not fiscally responsible and they run out of money, that would definitely be a reason to revoke or deny a charter. So we can look into that.
I didn't think I would add anything, but then would that be something we should add? That fiscal considerations as well? Because when I read our policy, it only says we can only
there will
revoke
be
it.
Ed code. I mean, we can go back and look at the ed code and see. There's a number of things.
Okay.
And so if you would like, we can look into that some more and look at the ed code.
Oh. All right. And then for complaints, we have no role in helping to resolve a complaint. Is that what I'm understanding? Based on what I'm reading here, it goes from the complainant filing it with the charter school, and then if they don't like the decision, going directly to the superintendent of public instruction. So we have no role in trying to resolve it.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. They have independence in that area.
Okay. And then my last question, and that's on page 4H. You know what, I'm sorry, I guess I did have a clarification on language. On 4H, the second paragraph, under letter A, if a charter school will be physically located in a public elementary school attendance area in which 50% or more of the student enrollment is eligible for free or reduced lunch, it may establish, I wasn't clear who the it was, is it the charter school or the district, may also establish an admissions preference for students who are currently enrolled in the public elementary school, so
I read that as the charter school.
Okay. That's what I thought, but as I kept reading it, it sounds like it's more favorable to the charter school than it is to the district.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I wanted to clarify it, because the charter school can then establish an admissions preference, so then they can go beyond 50%. When you've got free or reduced meals. So that, am I reading that correctly? Is it more favorable for them than for us?
Not necessarily, because the board, as a chartering agency, can have language that allows them, if they want to meet that threshold, to work with outside of the district.
We can negotiate in their contract the,
yes,
the admissions.
And it does say may. It didn't say shall.
Okay. Because it says it can establish an admissions preference. So I was reading that saying, oh, they can prefer to take in more free and reduced students.
I would like to recommend that we pull this item.
Okay.
And do further research on it. Those are great questions. And it really does tie in to the presentation at the end of this meeting, which will probably open up several other questions that we'll need to research.
Okay.
So bringing all that information back with you with this document would probably be preferable for us.
Okay.
I think that's awesome.
Thank you. That was it. All the rest of the policies I was fine with.
Okay, just to go back to 4D, I understand we're going to pull it. How I actually read it, which is probably why I didn't think about it before hearing Ms. Miranda Jimenez's question, it says, in accordance with the law, the board may deny a charter's renewal petition or may revoke a charter based on the charter school's poor performance. Okay, and so in the law, there's several other instances where we can deny or revoke. And then poor performance would include financial irresponsibility. And so I think it's just highlighting, especially with regards to the academic achievement of all numerically significant subgroups of students served by the charter.
Right.
So I think the language... it is clear that they're just trying to emphasize that, especially with this one, you have the authority. Because it's under, you know, monitoring charter school performance and also.
It seemed like we were limited. I understand the poor performance, but when you read just that section, it seems like we're limited by only academics.
Yeah,
and I feel that's too limiting.
Yeah, and I think what happens is because it's under that particular section that's specifically addressing that, it's why
we could make it a little meatier.
We can.
Because I think that first paragraph mentions fiscal accountability as well under monitoring.
Yeah.
The paragraph on the page before?
Yeah, 4C.
Yeah. It says that we oversee...
based on the academic and fiscal accountability measures specified.
And then the second and third paragraph also address it. And so I think they put the especially in there because it's right next to where you're talking about student outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a summary sentence emphasizing above it.
Okay. Just want to make sure we have many options.
Okay, so do I have a motion to approve the other board policies and administrative regulations listed and table charter school oversight?
I'll move it with the table as amended.
It has been moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez, seconded by Mr. Flowers. To accept for first and second reading and adopt the following board policies, administrative regulations, and Exhibit E as presented: BP 3280, BP/AR 3551, BP 4151/4251, and 4351, AR 4151, AR 4251, AR 4351, and BP AR 4161, 4261, 4361, and table BP 0420.41. Any objections?
None.
Okay. Seeing none, motion carries 4-0. Next item is district goals.
I'm sorry, 4?
Or 5.
Or 5-0. You said 4-0, so was there somebody who...
No, 0. Of 5-0.
Okay. I heard 4.
Oh, I said 4? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's why I said, said no.
Thank you. Sorry. moving on to number 5, West Community Unified School District Goals. Dr. Hinman?
Thank you, President Shoemaker. As promised, we are bringing back the goals that staff sat down and put together based on the data research that we did on the 100-year plan. We have two...
100
years. 100 years. I always do that. 400, 500, 100-year.
Rip Van Winkle. 220,
225. So 100-day plan, thank you. And based on that data, we've come up with recommended board goals, district goals, that we believe are areas that fit the strategic plan, but more importantly are areas that will really define us as a school district. Looking at this as baseline data, areas that we are very confident that we can improve upon. Now, you could have sub-goals to all of these, but we believe by addressing this set of goals, it will affect the district as a whole. So all student learning will come along based on these goals. But what we've done, as requested by the board, is we've given you two versions. One version is just a generic statement which says, we will improve. So the measurement of improvement is just moving from the baseline in an upward forum, or downward if it's cutting down D's and F's, for example. But you will see movement in the stated areas. If it says that we will develop a program, we will come to you on a midterm and a final and share with you where we are in implementing that program. So what we're asking the board for really is your blessing on this, on these goals, on either version or any changes you'd like to make. With the two versions, of one is it, if it has a data point, and I'm going to just jump to the second goal sheet, and I'm going to jump over to the second box on the sheet, where it says, for example, increase the number of SAT, ACT, and PSAT participants at grades 8 through 11. And it shows 14-15, 42% SAT, ACT. So what we're saying is that we would raise the participation rate from 42%. We don't state what percent we'll raise it. We're only stating we will raise it. On the next, it says 14-15, 0% PSAT, 8th grade. Obviously, we're going to have 8th graders participate in the PSAT. So that's with and without numbers. It's somewhat semantics, but it does give the public knowledge of what our starting point is. But let me also assure you, when we come back with the report, both midterm and final, we will, in fact, show, so we can prove growth to you. We will have to show you the baseline mark we started at, and what was our growth. So it's really what the board wants, and anything else they want or don't want on this list, and that's kind of what we're asking for you this evening.
Mr. Manares, do you have any questions, comments?
Not right now.
Ms. Miranda Jimenez?
I do.
Thank you. The document is really good. Thank you for adding the data to it. I really appreciate that. Thank you. What I touched on it the last time when it was presented at our 100 year, our 100 day plan, was either putting on the backside or adding to it, connecting it to our strategic plan. And so, for example, for the academic section, that falls in line with our strategic focus 1, 2, 3, and 5. And our behavior falls in line with our strategic focus 4. And creativity and innovation, again, can also fall in line with. So if we can connect it, just so that we, the board, as well as the public and our staff, can see that our strategic plan is still a living, breathing, moving document, and the goals are just a further refinement of the work that we're doing.
Uh-huh.
So that would be my recommendation. The other thing is, I know that you presented it in our presentation, the PSAT data for grades other than eighth grade, but it didn't make it here in this bullet, so I didn't know if it just got left off. Because we want to increase that rate as well. So it's just the SAT, ACT at 42%. I don't see PSAT 9 through 11. Is that, so I just assume it got left off. But we, PSAT 8th grade is zero, so obviously any work we do there will be great.
Correct, it did, and the final version we would make sure we have it on there.
I assumed it's such a small box,
yeah.
You know. So that's the only thing that I would ask, but I really appreciate Draft B, and thank you for putting those data points with it. And thank you to our trustee Menares for our E3G completion rates. That was excellent data as we take a look at achieving these goals here. So thank you. Thank you for making that request.
Mr. Menares?
Yeah, I know I had written something down. My question was under the behavior box. Mm-hmm. I don't see any mention of RTI. I think I brought that up previously. I'm not sure how far along the schools are in implementing RTI response to intervention in terms of dealing with both academic and behavioral support. So is that an integral part of what's being done at our school sites? And if so, you know, maybe there should be mention of it here under behavior.
Ms. Hawkins, would you address that, please?
The schools have been working to formalize the RTI models for both academic and behavioral over the last school year, and we're getting prepared to sort of run those out as a district-wide piece for the 15-16 school year. So we could include something along those lines, but that wasn't something that we had put down with all of the other pieces.
I think, you know, and just thinking back to the 100-day plan, that wasn't something that I had included in the plan or that I had measured. Doesn't mean it's not as important and shouldn't be in there, but that's probably how it didn't get in there. It wasn't brought forward to staff in the principals, but by all means, that which is measured gets done. So if that's the board's recommendation, we could easily add that.
I mean, it's just a more positive approach to, you know, dealing with behavior.
No, RTI is great, absolutely.
Oh, yes. I just want to thank that superintendent and staff for putting this data together. You know what? It's when you got before us and you put it, the data on the board here, just to see the growth, because we expect that when you said how many our students were failing, and from the DNFs, and you expect us, you know, and as the board we do, we expect that to that improvement. And it's good. I want to thank you for showing it. And you know, next year we're really going to be looking hard at that.
Thank you, and again, I can't take the credit for the term, and I'm sure Rick DeForest stole it from somebody as well. But again, that which is monitored gets done. So this will be in front of us when the board finally concludes that this is where they actually want to go. We will constantly be asking these questions all year long. Where are we with this? Where are we with this? And the expectation is going to be that we'll be able to come back and show you growth across the board. No. And the exciting part is, when we hit that summative report to you, that now becomes the baseline, and we'll come back to you again and say, now please expect us to grow again, and so on and so forth.
Now, how often will we get that report? Will we get it like?
Our current plan is to give you an update in January, okay, and then around May come back and give you a final report of where we believe we're at. You know, some of the data doesn't come back until, you know, August or July. We'll only be able to project, but we'll be able to give you a pretty clear view of where we're at.
And I believe we will hit that mark that you guys are reaching, that we all are reaching the district, because we have great teachers.
Yes.
So, you know, and
yes,
I look forward
so
to seeing that data when it comes in.
I would appreciate having the draft B moved forward, but I would like the years and the numbers put in a different font,
mm-hmm,
because at first reading I'm trying to struggle to figure out what it meant. So if I knew right away that it was, I would know that it was a tracking data, or and that every time I saw that, if it was just in a slightly different font. I know that there was talk about RTI, and we talked about it, and I had an in-depth talk with Colleen 2 weeks ago about it. But I'd appreciate it if it was on here, and not to misquote you, Dr. Henman, but you said something like, what is written is what is done. And so
that which is monitored is
okay,
what's done.
Written, yes.
I would argue written is
okay, monitored.
Not, yeah.
I didn't
different
want to misquote you, and I was trying to remember
please
how
yeah
you said it.
There's a lot that we write that
yes
we don't follow through.
So thank you for that clarification. And that's why I would like the RTI on here, because everybody knows we're going to be monitoring it then.
Right.
And it's something, this is going to be going out to the public.
Yes.
Maybe we could, and I don't want it to be lost in there, and I thought in our last
discussions 2 weeks ago that the Human Relations Task Force was something with RTI or no? Okay. So then we definitely need it in there.
I marked it to add a bullet.
Thank you.
That talks about RTI.
And I know that there's a lot on there. I'm trying to figure out if there's an easier way to read it, because it's much easier to read, for me. Mm-hmm. And if there's a way we can... sometimes when there's too much information on something, at least for me, I know I'll put it away to read later, and then I don't. So we want to make sure that...
We'll look at some of the font placements and some of the bolding. It looks a little different in color as well, which the black and white
copy.
And
are we going to be... I mean, on our website, it'll definitely be in color, but if we're going to be sending this out, is it going to be in color or in black and white? Because color's pretty expensive to send things out in.
I think we'll have a variety of things that we send out, and, you know, as Ms. Miranda Jimenez suggested, with the strategic plan on the back, and so it'll fold nicely and look professional.
And again, not just website, but we will send it out in color electronically, so people will see it online on the web, so on the website, school sites, School Loop. So we will send it out to the mass. Probably we will not send out a lot of hard copies.
Okay.
So unless the independent school site wants to do that, or the board chooses to do that.
They could have it up on their bulletin boards in color.
Oh, absolutely.
Because sometimes when you're waiting for your child, I know I read the bulletin boards then. So that would be a nice way to do
that. Well, I'll even do one better. I will tell you that when we have the final version, we will reproduce this in color and poster boards for all of our school sites.
Okay.
Would you write that down?
I was already thinking along the lines of in the classrooms,
well,
like we do some other things.
Don't
so.
Write it, monitor it.
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure. I wasn't sure, and I didn't want to assume with the strategic plan. I know we have new board members, Mr. Menares and Mr. Flowers. I'm not sure if you got a binder. We all did when the strategic plan was approved, and we've got all the guts of it in here. So I'm not sure, and if not, then maybe they could get one. Because
I think we'll give you hers.
No, you cannot have mine. Because I'm looking forward to putting this under Section 3, District Goals. So I didn't want to make that assumption, so that was the only thing I wanted to double-check, that everybody has it.
No, I didn't receive one, so.
Okay.
So looking for some direction, what I heard the request is, obviously we'll get copies to the two board members of strategic plan, but also it is possible, and we did talk about this last time, so I did bring copies of the strategic plan. We could do one of two things. We could easily have a two-sided document, one that's with the board goals, and the other side actually has the strategic plan, 1 through 5, or, and it would get a little crowded, admittedly so, we could go through and identify the goals and match them with the strategic plan, but that might, for this first run, that might be a little crowded, but we'll follow the board's direction.
Right.
I would just go ahead and put it on the back.
Yeah.
I am going to reiterate my comments from the last board meeting when we discussed the school district goals. I appreciate that we have the baseline data numbers on areas that say increase or decrease, but again, we have goals without any way of actually measuring them. So we're back to, if one student in eighth grade takes the PSAT, that district goal has been met. But are we proud of the fact that out of all of our eighth graders, only one of them took the PSAT? And so when we start looking at how the district is doing, it's a little hard when you see a 1% increase, and that could be because of, you know, one student. And that's not the type of growth we're looking for. When we talk about, you know, students, more students passing A through G, being A through G eligible, you know, again, we passed curriculum for the high school at least 6 years ago that said all of our courses are going to be A through G so that our students are A through G eligible. Yet now we don't even have a number there to say, okay, we know... I need to get on the one that has the data. 14-15, only 42% were. But we're not saying next year we're going to increase that to 45%. Mm-hmm. There's nothing with teeth here. And so, you know, we went through this at the last board meeting. I, again, am restating my objection to these goals. I think they're great goals.
Mm-hmm.
I just think they're not measurable and therefore a waste of time. So, because one of the arguments we got is we don't have baseline data. Well, clearly we do if we know 42%. So, with that, that will be my objection. But do I have – I've heard two board members say that they prefer –
I was going to support what you're saying, that having this by subgroup was excellent, because just because one subgroup may have had a 25% growth – and then when the data gets here, it seems like, oh, wow, we've had growth. We may have had other subgroups lose. And so there's a lot of truth to what you're saying. I love this document. So can we add? It's first reading, so.
Absolutely. If the board wants staff to go back and give you our best educated work on what we feel is a meetable goal, by all means, we can do that.
Okay.
I am opposed to the term "all children will," because then we're setting ourselves up to fail. But I think we can go back and get realistic goals. But I do want to share, if I come back, and President Shoemaker, you mentioned the A through G. If I come back with the A through G, you know, that's a four-year data point. So we would probably project that out by 2020, by 2018. Here's a number we believe we could hit. I'm hesitant to give you a number for 2016 because that only gives us 1 year of seniors that have already been through 3 years of school, and they may not have met their A through G, and I can't control that. But I can control going out to 2017, 2018, 2019. So as long as I'm asking for the ability to make our assessments that we believe are be attainable within the attainable timelines, SMART goals, if you will. Mm-hmm. If you would ask us to come back with that, we would readily accept that.
I have no problem with that. I understand that the goal has to be 4 years out, but understand to me that's 10 years out from when we started the process.
I
understand. And so I understand A through G, it's going to take getting a freshman, because by your senior year, if you haven't taken most of the courses, there's nothing you can do.
And realistically, and this is why I'm hesitant, but by all means, with the board direction, we'll do it. You know, enrollment for next year is done. So the AP courses and the IB courses are enrolled. I'm wholly confident we will see an increase in both of those, because I know we will. I can tell you now we will. But I want to set a realistic number over time. So you might see some projections of June of 16 versus June of 17 and so on and so forth. So what I hear you saying is you like the document. Go back and rework it a little bit and bring it back for a first reading.
Yeah, because I think that will also show us if we say, you know, 4 years from now, A through G eligible, we want to increase to 75%. And as we move forward in those years, if we're not seeing the type of increases we're looking for, then we know to focus our attention on that area. Why are we not meeting that goal?
Right.
But if we just say increase or decrease, it's fluff. It's nothing. Sorry.
No, I don't. I respectfully understand your point of view, but the only reason I respectfully disagree, because I know in my head, I know what staff has in mind, and I know we're going to hit those goals. We just don't have them stated. But what you're saying is, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Let's see those goals, and we're not going to have a problem providing those for you.
Yeah, and I fully expect the goals, the numbers that come to us, to be attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I know even without that, you know, we're going to try and do this, but we are held accountable to the public.
Yes.
Yes.
And
yes,
through us, you guys are held accountable to the public. And so, you know, I like to straight talk, and I want to be able to say to my community, you know, we increased A through G enrollment 10%, not say, yes, we increased it.
Right.
And because the follow-up question is always, really? How did you do that? Right. How much?
Right.
You know? And so somebody should be able to look at our district website and next year see, okay, we have this goal of 10% by this year. We've gone up 2.5%. We're well on the way.
Right. Very good.
Quick question. Are the site administrators, well, I guess that'd be mostly high school, but also middle school, and, I mean, in a way, elementary, because it does start there, are they participating in this process and in the creation of these goals, and have they bought into these goals?
Very much so. The process was we had over a series of meetings. We looked at the data. We discussed the data. But the culmination was, based on the West Covina Unified School District data, what do you feel, meaning principals, staff, are the most important areas that we need to monitor, which therefore get done and set goals on? So all of them participated in developing these goals. So the answer, long answer to your question is yes. And by the way, I agree 100%. We can't meet A through G, AP pass rates, IB pass rates, PSAT, if we don't start producing a higher percentage of kids who can meet that rigor coming through elementary, and they're very aware of that.
And it will open the dialogue between the schools of, look, you're sending us students who can't read the literature they need to read to pass an AP English course. Right. What do you need to get there?
Agreed.
All communication that I know is going on now. But
right.
Maybe if it's more black and white,
right,
and they have the buy-in because they help, you know, design these, we'll have some greater success.
Agreed.
Okay, so with that, do I have a motion to approve the first reading of the West Covina Unified School District goals? Do I have a second?
A second.
It's been moved by Ms. Miranda Jimenez and Mr. Flowers to, that's kind of weird, to approve the West Covina Unified School District goals for first reading. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay. And Monica, you're clear. I had to change the language based on what the description says.
Yeah.
Okay. Item number 13. Are there any questions? Seeing none, is there a motion?
I just want to, I'll move it. I just want to thank Dr. Hinman, thank you for adding and breaking out the arts component. I really appreciate that. And it falls right in line with what you said last week, that the board is very supportive of the arts program and the fact that there was even a monetary amount attached to it. So I just want to say thank you. I'll go ahead and move it. I have no questions.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it, and I want to thank the staff who made the changes. I think that they really listened to what we wanted, and I saw it reflected. So I appreciate that so much.
I just want to say one thing, the IB dance. I want to see Dr. Hemming over there doing that dance with an IB dance.
You just might, Trustee Flowers.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Any opposed to approving the LCAP for beginning July 2015? Seeing none, motion carries 5-0. Okay, next item on our agenda is the 2015-16 budget and criteria and standards. Are there any questions, comments? Okay, do I have a motion?
I'll move it.
And I'll second that one.
I guess you didn't do as good of a job, Dr. Coughlin.
I did. I'm sorry. I didn't say it loud enough. Great job. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Chaudhry. Thank you very, very, very much, both of you.
Is there any opposition to the motion? Seeing none, motion carries 5-0. The next item on our agenda is an information report regarding San Jose Charter Academy. But at this time, I would like to go ahead and just take a 5-minute break before we dive into that one.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that.
A 5-0 vote should mean the same thing.